Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There have been a great many promises made to our society. One of those, as I recall, is that one day we would all fly supersonically, past the speed of sound, regularly. Wouldn't be that big a deal. I even wrote a report on this one time when I was in junior high. I loved this idea. Of course, with the reality of the supersonic Concorde jet being taken permanently out of service, I doubt that I'll ever see that great promise fulfilled again in my lifetime. Oh, maybe, but I doubt it. I had a relative who worked in the airline industry, and he's ridden on the Concorde a couple of times. I have grilled him before he passed away. I grilled him about the details of that on more than one occasion. I yearn for that experience, though I'll never get to have it. It is a promise. It's a great promise that just won't happen for me and pretty much for all of society. God made great promises to His society, His chosen people in the Old Testament. He used great people called prophets to give His promises through. One of those great promises Jesus quotes from today from the book of Malachi when he says, "This is speaking about John. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" Jesus goes on to say, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The greatness of John the Baptist is not because of the odd way in which he lived his life. But according to Scripture, it's because John made every effort to point his fellow Jews to Jesus as God's long-awaited fulfillment of God's promises. As we said before, God gave great promises to his people, to the Jews. Now today, we see that one of those promises about the messenger who would prepare the way for the Messiah has come to pass in the person of John the Baptist. But think for a moment about what that promise meant for them in their day. It used to be that when a king came to town, it was rarely a surprise event. Someone always went ahead of the king to announce to his subjects that their master, lord, and king was about to come to them. This announcement was a word of warning to those who had wronged the king, and it was also a word of great joy for those who loved their king and who served him gladly. The words of the messenger, the words of the herald, were the same words for everyone to hear. What made the difference was your attitude toward the king. Also remember that the messenger did not come on his own. He didn't just get up out of bed one morning and decide, "Oh, today I'm going to walk to town and announce the coming of the king." No. The messenger is one who is sent. He is sent by the king. And he comes with the authority of the king to advertise the king's arrival to everyone. The messenger, the one who made the announcement, was not acting on his own. He acted because it was his office, it was his job that he was given by the king to do. So, when God in the Old Testament promised that he would send a messenger to inform the people that the Messiah was coming, he was giving his authority, God's authority, to that herald to make such a proclamation. And the message of the herald was about another promise that God had made in the Old Testament, that he would send a Savior, a Redeemer, a promised person to accomplish salvation for all people. The Old Testament lesson today contains words about that promised person. By the way, the Hebrew understanding of that promised person is best translated with the word Messiah. Messiah. Messiah carries the understanding of that promised one as anointed or designed by God to come. So when you hear Messiah, hear promised person. Now, listen again to what we heard regarding the person of promise, the Messiah. Read this with me, please. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Now here, in Isaiah today, God promises that the promised person will save. Save. He will satisfy the vengeance of God against sin. He will bring deliverance from God's wrath. That's a huge promise. And to give witness to the truth of that prophecy, there will be things that this promised person does. He will heal the eyes of the blind. He will give hearing to those who have never had it before. All of these promises, these things that he does, will be identifiers or markers or ways of knowing that the Messiah God promised has arrived. And the actions of Jesus that Jesus told John's followers in the gospel to report on, these are the very signs or marks of the Messiah. And this confirms for John and the world that the great promised person, Messiah, has come. Do you recognize this quote? Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them. Where is that from? Yeah, but where? Close. I honestly had to look it up. It's Twelfth Night. Twelfth Night is where it's from. Think about this for a minute. Have you ever met somebody who is considered great? Now, I'm not talking about relatives or parents or things like that. I'm talking about people who are recognized as others, by others, as great people. I read an estimate one time that said that in the history of the world, the number of people who can be considered great runs to about 100,000 people. Think about that. That's not a very big number. Who might be on that list? Well, Shakespeare himself would be on it. Then there's people like Charlemagne, Martin Luther, Abraham Lincoln. What about folks like Augustine? Or Columbus, Baryshnikov, the man who passed away just recently, John Glenn. How about George Washington? There would also be terrible names too. Genghis Khan, Mao Zedong, Hitler. And what about people like Jackie Robinson, Madame Curie, George Washington Carver, Neil Armstrong, Marconi, Edison? And you. You. Now before we close, I'll come back around to you. But you are great, according to Jesus in today's gospel lesson. And so, of course, is John the Baptist. Jesus points out that John the Baptist is the greatest of all people born in the normal, natural way. Now that's quite something. To be at the top of the list that includes even the bright lights that we mentioned just a minute ago. Jesus makes it clear that John the Baptist deserves to be at the top of that list. But isn't Jesus himself greater than John? Well, we'd say yes. But that's because Jesus didn't come into this world in quite the same way as everyone else. He was born from the Virgin Mary. And that's what we're preparing to celebrate. And we talked about that last week. And by the way, that reminds me of the candle that we lit today, the pink one, the shepherd's candle. Well, these guys wouldn't generally make the list of anyone's top 10, let alone great people. They were certainly on God's list. these humble men were given the great honor of hearing the good news of Jesus' birth from the very angels of heaven. They were placed above kings and priests and potentates by God's grace. Though humble, as Mary was, they too were considered by God to be worthy of this great honor. At any rate, this humble birth of Jesus is the beginning of what sets him apart from us. He was born of a virgin. And that again is one of those great promises that God made in the Old Testament. And that's not like anyone else. Jesus, who John the Baptist points to as God's greatest promise, Jesus says that John the Baptist is the greatest of those born of women, meaning in the natural way. But Jesus also says that the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Now, consider this carefully. If Jesus is greater than John the Baptist, and Jesus says that the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist, then Jesus must also be the least in the kingdom of God. And so it is. It is true. Jesus becomes the least in the kingdom of God. And so he is the greatest of all, greater even than John the Baptist. Though John the Baptist does not live to see it, Jesus does become the least of all. Jesus, who when dying on the cross, is the least of all because on the cross, he became sin for us. He took the guilt and all the vengeance of God toward sin on himself. Jesus, in dying that death, was the least in the kingdom of heaven, and therefore he is greater than John. Jesus is both least and greatest, Alpha and Omega. And in doing that work of the Messiah, he completes and fulfills all the great promises God made to his people and to us. And because of Jesus on the cross, you are greater than everyone or anyone that was on that list that we spoke about a few moments ago. You are greater than them not because of anything you did, that you will do, or that you can do. To paraphrase Shakespeare, you are not born to greatness, and you cannot achieve greatness. Greatness is thrust upon you. It is thrust upon you by the words of Jesus from the cross. It is finished. This is whom John the Baptist was pointing to when he said elsewhere in the scripture, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Remember, John was the herald of Christ. And we said that the words of the herald were the same words for everyone to hear, regardless of your attitude toward the king. John's words, pointing all people to the Messiah of God, having come into the world and completed all of God's promises, was what made John the Baptist great. You are among the great persons of the world only because of the great promise of salvation from God, having its completion in the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's because his work is yours by grace through faith alone. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice. Not that we can boast in any greatness of ourselves, but rather our greatness comes from the salvation of the Lamb of God that John the Baptist pointed to. Jesus is the promised person, the Messiah, the one who has come into the world at Bethlehem to take away the sin of the world at Calvary. In the name of Messiah Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.